It's unbelievable that these people are organized after-school Satan clubs for elementary school children. You never thought that we come to this in America, but here it is right in front of us. And they say, we have our rights. If we want to have Satan clubs for elementary school, we can. Well, good luck with that. Boy, oh boy. Yeah, it's last days for sure, folks. And we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And the Bible says we war against principalities and powers of darkness. And that is no joke. These people are making a mockery. And we need to counter that by the true worship of the King, Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to do right now. Let's grab our hymnals, folks. We'll stand for our final hymn tonight. Let's open up to 24, hymn 24, and this is what we need. Heavenly sunlight in opposition to the satanic darkness. Oh, yes. Hymn 24, and it looks like we're going to sing all three. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the truth. Walking in sunlight, walk of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep breath. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail.
Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul.
Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior guide. He is the light, in Him is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to His side.
Heavenly sunlight, heavenly
flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises. Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing His praises. Gladly I'm walking,
walking in sunlight,
sunlight of love.
Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine.
Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises. Jesus is mine.
Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine.
Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises. Jesus is mine. Amen. Please be seated, church. I'm so thankful tonight for that sunlight of Jesus Christ that floods our souls. Oh boy, where would we be without Him in these last days? So, alrighty, folks, let's grab our Bibles tonight as we get right to our Sunday evening message. And we're continuing on in our present series entitled The Olivet Discourse. Matthew 24, folks, Matthew 24. The Olivet Discourse, Part 2, Sound Man, Part 2 tonight. And last week, in Week 1, we saw the first two aspects of 14 total,
which we will be examining concerning this incredible prophetic passage known as the Olivet Discourse. Beloved, keep in mind that in this passage, the Messiah will give to the world the single most detailed account of events which would take place throughout the age of grace, including the final seven-year period known as Daniel's 70th week, the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, we've seen the historical setting of the discourse. That was the first aspect. Secondly, we saw the three questions asked. And tonight we come to our third aspect of the discourse, and that is the general characteristics of the church age, that is the age of grace. Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 24, beloved, and keep in mind that before Messiah answers the third question first, which is what he'll do, he'll answer the third question first, he begins by answering the question negatively, by providing some general characteristics of the church age, which are not actual signs of the end of the age, though he will provide all three of the signs asked for further on in the passage, okay? He will. He's just telling them some things that are not signs of the end, okay? He's prefacing his answers. Now, look at verse 4 in Matthew 24. Now, let's back up and read verse 3 by way of review. The three questions are found. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world?" Now, you got three questions couched in there, which we will be going in great detail over. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars, and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places." Now, here in these verses, beloved, Messiah tells the disciples some of the events that would occur in verses 4 through 6, which would not indicate the end of the age had come. Okay? Notice that. In verse 5, "Many shall come in my name, false Christ shall arise." Verse 6, "Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." Those are local wars, not worldwide conflict. Okay? There's a difference. These in verses 4 through 6 are implications that are not signs of the end of the age, but he's simply saying these things will be around throughout the church age period. There's always wars. There's always those who've come down through the last two millennium saying they were Jesus Christ. Imposters is what they are. Now, look at the end of verse 6. Verse 6. "And ye shall hear wars of rumors of wars. See that ye not be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." See, here Jesus Christ is making it clear to them that what he says up to verse 6 are things that will take place, and they have been taking place. He's never wrong. For 2,000 years now. But he's saying, don't let those alarm you. Those are not indications of the end. And remember, he's talking about the end of the age, not the end of the world. They're spelt different. The end of the world won't come till after the millennium. But the end of the church age will come at the rapture, okay? Now, it's important that you understand that as we pursue the three questions, the answers to all three, which he will give. All right. Now, Jesus here mentions two general characteristics of the church age. First, the rise of false Christ. Second, the existence of local wars. So first of all, look again at verse 5. Verse 5, Jesus says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Now realize, church, that Jesus Christ was the first person in the history of the world to claim to be the Son of God / Messiah of Israel. He was the first, okay? Now, Since his first advent, many have come, claiming to be Jesus Christ, claiming to be the Jewish Messiah. Indeed, since Jesus ascended into heaven, men have attempted to deceive people by claiming divinity. Even Jewish men, like Simon Bar Chokhba, Sabetel Tzitzvai, Jacob Frank, these were Jews who arose and led many astray. Then there's Gentile men like Jim Jones, David Koresh, Sun Young Moon, etc. Many, many have successfully deceived masses of people, even unto mass suicide in some cases. They're cult leaders. And one common theme amongst cult leaders is they claim divinity. They say they're God and worship me and follow me. And the people end up dead most of the time. But folks, Jesus warned about this. He said, don't be deceived by them. Now, the Messiah says here that these false Christs were not a sign of the end. Go to Mark 13. Remember, we've got three passages concerning the Olivet Discourse, and we need all three passages to shed the full light upon this discourse. Mark 13. Look with me in Mark 13 at verse 5. Mark 13, verse 5. And Jesus answering said unto them, began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, Mark noted the same thing that Jesus said as Matthew noted. Okay? And many of this will be congruous, but some will be different because each apostle adds different things that Jesus said. But they're all equally important. Verse 6, and shall deceive many. Now go to Luke's passage. We got it in three of the Gospels, the Olivet Discourse. In Luke 21, remember we have the same discourse again spoken of in Luke 21. And look with me at verse number 8. And he, Jesus, said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Now, notice their message, these false Messiah, these false Christs. Their message is, I am the Christ, the time draweth near. Time of what? Time of the end. You see that? They're trying to get people to believe that they are the Christ, that he's come back and he's going to set up his kingdom, these false Christs. You see that? But Jesus said, don't believe them. They're liars. The end is not yet. Okay, you see that? Now, secondly, another general characteristic, back to Matthew 24, another general characteristic of the church age would be the existence of local wars throughout the world. Look at Matthew 24, look at verse 6. Jesus says, and ye shall hear of wars, those are actual wars taking place, and rumors of wars, those are wars that are going to take place. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Jesus says, when you see Iran fighting against Iraq, I mean, they had a 22-year war where millions of Iraqis and Iranians died in the deserts there. But that doesn't mean the end of the world was there. That didn't make the end of the world come, did it? The end of the age, I should say. No, it didn't. Because that's a local war between two nations. Okay? Jesus says there's something else that you want to look for that will mean a sign of the end. It's not local wars. All right. Go to Mark 13. Back to Mark chapter 13. Jesus says there will be wars. Nation against nation. Those are individual wars. In Mark 13, verse 7, we read, and when ye shall hear of wars, actual wars taking place, and rumors of wars, wars that might take place, be not ye troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. He says, neither the false Christs nor the local wars indicate the end of the age. Okay? Why? Because we've had them, both of those characteristics all through the 2,000 years of this church age so far. And the end hasn't come yet, right? Go to Luke 21. So Jesus is speaking negatively first, Then he's going to speak positively about what will be the sign of the end of the age. In Luke 21, verse number 9, we read, "But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, skirmishes, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by." Jesus says that does not mean the end of the age has come. It's just local wars between feuding tribes. That's all that is. Nations against nations, okay? Now, here Jesus tells the disciples that local wars do not indicate that the end of the age of grace has come. There's always been feuds and battles and wars amongst neighboring people groups and on earth. And the devil is behind it, folks, because the devil loves bloodshed and killing. God is not the author of war. That's the devil's dirty work. He loves for people to kill each other at war. Because why? He wants their souls. He wants them dead. The devil is the author of wars. So Jesus Christ, Messiah, is emphasizing here that warring will exist indeed, but that those local wars are not a sign of the end. Okay, that's the third aspect of the Olivet Discourse, general characteristics of the church age. But fourthly, there's a fourth aspect of the church age of the discourse that we must look at. That is the actual sign of the end of the age of grace. Back to Matthew 24. And before we read, listen carefully. Having provided some characteristics of the church age, which are not indications that the end of the age had begun, Messiah will next proceed to answer the third question positively, giving them the sign that the end of the age had begun. Look with me in Matthew 24, verse number 7. Jesus says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and what? Kingdom." Now, time out, church, before we continue reading. A kingdom is it can be a multitude of nations, a conglomerate, a corporation of nations gathered together, okay? That's a kingdom. Like, let me give you an example. Nebuchadnezzar had all the kingdoms of the east under his control. It was a bunch of nations under his, it was a kingdom which extended to all different nations, okay? So, Luke says, "For nation, individual nation, shall rise against nation," another individual nation. That's not too bad. "But kingdom shall rise against kingdom." That's a more intense battle because that is a confederation of nations, a kingdom. "And there shall be famine," now watch, "and," notice the word "and," "and there," you got to pay attention to the words in red, "and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." Now, look with me here at verse 8. "All these are the beginning of sorrows." Jesus Christ just gave the disciples the sign that the end of the church age had begun. Okay, now let me give you a hint. It began 100 years ago. I'm going to get into that in a minute here. But it began 100 years ago from right now. And I'm going to show you why. Now, go to Mark 13. The end of this dispensation began 100 years ago. In Mark 13 again. Look with me at verse 8. Verse 8. Jesus says again, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be," you know what they're doing right now? They're dividing the earth. The political leaders of the world are attempting to divide the world into kingdom territories, where you'll have like North America, Canada, the United States, and Mexico will be one kingdom. You'll have New Zealand, Australia, and whatever that is over there. You'll have Europe, all of Europe, as another kingdom. These are kingdoms of nations gathered together, okay? And they're in allegiance as a kingdom. They give their power to the leader of that kingdom. Look at verse 8. "But nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows." The beginnings of sorrows. Now, go with me next, go with me to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21 again. We won't be long tonight, but we've got to get this third and fourth aspect of the discourse out. In Luke 21, look at verse 10. Then said he, Jesus, unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places. Time out, church. You know that we have had some of the most destructive earthquakes in the last decade in the history of the world? We're talking hundreds of thousands of people killed by the earthquakes I'm talking about. Remember Indonesia? 240,000 dead. Remember Haiti? 200,000 dead. Folks, we're talking megaquakes. And there shall be great earthquakes in diverse places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Now, according to all three gospel writers here, the sign of the end of the age is said to be when world war comes and is accompanied by famines and earthquakes and pestilences. All four. Now, look at Matthew 24 again. Back to Matthew 24. Look at verse 8 one more time. Verse 8. Jesus says, all these, that's all four happening simultaneously, are the beginning of sorrows. Now, I want you to get the picture. Messiah in verse 8 clearly states that the actual sign that the end of the age of grace has begun is the coupling together of these four events: earthquakes, famines, pestilences, and worldwide conflict. That's world wars. Okay? Now, the Greek word here for sorrows in verse 8 means travail. It means birth pangs. This is obvious reference to the series of labor pains that a woman undergoes prior to giving birth. Now listen, spiritually speaking, this means what Jesus is saying in verse 8 prophetically is that these four events, when you see them occurring in the world simultaneously, they will result in the birth of the Messianic Kingdom Age. It's the beginning of the end of this age, folks. And it's been going on for 100 years. Now, in order to fully grasp the truth that Jesus is revealing here in verse 8 and 7, we must rightly comprehend the phraseology of verse 7. Nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. This expression is the Jewish idiom for world war. When you see these four together, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, it's a rabbi's way of saying worldwide conflict, world war. Now, Jesus, Messiah, is clearly stating that when you see a full-scale world war occur on earth, that then that war will signal that the end of the age had begun. Did you know that World War I began in 1914 and ended in 1918? Rita does. She was there. No! She was there. She's our matriarch. She's 92. God bless her soul. But Rita's been around for a while. She knows that World War II took place in 1914, ended in 1918. We're in 2016. Smack dab in the middle of the 100-year mark. Now, folks, listen carefully. Indeed, the Jewish rabbis taught that, listen, the Jewish rabbis have taught for 2,000 years, and they rejected Jesus Christ, that worldwide conflict, war, would signal the approaching coming of Messiah. They don't believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. They believe he's yet to come, which he's going to come, but they believe he's yet to come and that he'll come after a world war takes place on earth. That's what the rabbis believe and teach, okay? Now, in verse 7, the nation against nation speaks of World War I. Why? Because that war was a war between individual nations. But the kingdom against kingdom in verse 8, 7, refers to World War II, because that was a war between coalitions of nations. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. Jesus knows what he's talking about. And he says, nation against nation, World War I. Kingdom against kingdom, World War II. Now, listen carefully. It was war between a coalition of nations that brought about World War II. Realize also, church, that both World War I and World War II had significant impacts upon the nation of Israel. Listen, in World War I, it ended the Ottoman Empire, which was anti-Jewish to the core. They would kill Jews if they found them. It ended, World War I ended the Ottoman Empire and gave impetus to the growth of Zionism. While World War II directly led to the reestablishment of the Jewish state in 1948. Folks, Jesus Christ is trying to tell us here what sign. He's given us the sign. So since World War I, human history has been in the last days of the church age for 100 years. And since that time, the world has seen more famines, more pestilences, and more earthquakes than ever before combined in the world history in the last 100 years, folks. This is no joke. Now, thus, the literal fulfillment of the sign that the end of the age had begun and will result in giving birth to the millennium. Okay? That's the pangs of sorrow that he speaks of in verse 8. It's going to give this, these events are going to give birth to a messianic kingdom. Next week, we'll continue with the fifth aspect of the Olivet Discourse, which is found in verses 9 through 13. Father, we thank you tonight so much for your word. And Lord, we thank you that this incredible passage in Matthew 24, you laid out in graphic detail events which would occur throughout the age of grace up to the end of the church age. And then, Lord, you went one step further. You gave us graphic detail of events that will occur during Daniel's 70th week. You even spoke of the Antichrist sitting in your temple, claiming to be you. Lord, we're so thankful for this holy book we hold in our lap. We're so thankful that we know the end from the beginning, and we know that Jesus Christ wins. Glory to God. We are more than conquerors through him that loves us. We love you tonight, Father, and we thank you for the truth. We thank you that we are not in darkness. Our eyes are open. We know what time it is, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that Jesus is fixing to come back quickly, real quick. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're getting us, making ready a people prepared for the coming of the Lord. Thank you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals once again, and we'll stand for a closing hymn tonight. Let's go to 34. Love this old hymn of the faith. And this is what we need to be focusing on each and every day, reaching higher ground spiritually. Amen. First, second, and fourth we'll sing. Altar's open if you need it. Yes. A preacher wrote this song.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. So praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land. A heart of burden I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where fears arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these are bound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land, a higher prayer. my feet on higher ground. On the fourth I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, place my feet on higher ground.
Woohoo! Great singing, church, today. What a blessing to be in God's house with you this morning, learning about Doubting Thomas and how he failed, and then he truly got converted and became a disciple again, and what a blessing that was. And then tonight, learning about the events that will take place, that have been taking place. And we know from these things that Jesus spoke that the end has begun, and we're heading toward heaven shortly. And we need to be ready. Amen, church? Well, Lord, how we thank you for the encouragement we received today from your holy word. Lord, we thank you that it's your Holy Spirit that empowers it and blesses us and anoints it to us, O God. And we're thankful, dear Lord, that your Holy Spirit ministers grace to us. Through Jesus Christ, he gives us strength, even his own power within. We're thankful for that tonight, Lord. And we're thankful that one of the messages from this morning's sermon was that we need not fear. We need not fear because Jesus is near. And Lord, you're in control. And we need to remember that and not doubt. Doubt brings fear. And we thank you, dear Lord, that faith brings courage. We love you today, Lord. And Lord, we pray that this week, throughout this week, you go before us. Help us to lead a soul to Jesus Christ, Father, a soul that needs salvation. Help us to give out gospel tracts. Help us to be a blessing to people, whether they get saved or not, Lord. Help us to shine your light, your heavenly sunlight, to a lost and dying world. Lord, we don't know how much longer we've got, but we do know one thing. We see the day approaching. And Lord Jesus, as we travel through chapter 24, the Olivet Discourse, we've just scratched the surface. Lord, you're going to give us great graphic detail of signs to look for, things that we've already seen coming to pass in the earth. And oh Lord, you said there'll be distress amongst all nations. We're entering that time of sorrows, there's no doubt. And we just ask you to be with us and use us for your own honor and glory in these last days, Lord. Help us to make a difference. Help us to make a change, wherever our sphere of influence may be, to the glory of God our Father. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen, amen.
Praise the Lord, folks.